Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now. What's up, everybody? It's me, it's your girl, Sassy Scribe of Situations with Sassy, coming to you once again with another hot fire show here on Bashani Radio, New York City, and worldwide on the top three podcasting platforms. That is iHeart, iTunes, and Spotify. My apologies. I am deep into, what is this, the third week of Black History Month, and we know that Black History is every day, 365, 24/7. But since we've had this week dedicated to us in 1926, I believe, started out as a week, now it's a month, I have been remiss in talking about some of the things that I think we need to share and watch and read and listen to in relation to Black History Month. A few years ago, there was like this reverse mentoring program to promote diversity, equity, inclusion. You know, the new tag words that the right is trying to make seem like. The left is using it as a way of to be inclusive. The right is using it as a way to show that inclusivity is more divisive than not. The left means well, but diversity, equity, inclusion normally includes white women, because they are a minority. And we live in this white male patriarchal society where they are in jeopardy of losing control, and it's blowing their goddamn minds. So there's a couple of things that I want to say that we need to watch. I watch it with my nieces and nephews. There are things that we can make our children aware of, because we have states like Texas and Kentucky and Oklahoma and South Carolina and Florida and Arkansas that are enacting these laws within the school curricula that are not allowing them to teach history. They're whitewashing it. And if we're not careful as a community, if we're not careful as a society, they will whitewash history and rewrite it to make themselves look and feel better. And you know, I had a conversation before I get into this. I had a conversation with a friend. And this is the crux of why teaching slavery and the civil rights movement and the Voting Rights Act and inventions created by Black people. Like, what would the world be if there were no Black people, given all of the inventions that we have created? The stoplight, the air conditioner, the light bulb. I know they said Thomas Edison did it, but it was really his assistant, who was a Black man, that did that. Put the conduits together to get light. And the white man stole his patent. Literally stole his idea. So many things that Black people have contributed to that have made the world a better place. The cotton gin. Blacks were picking cotton. A Black man figured out how they didn't have to pick cotton. Streamline the process. So there's a quote that I always say, and it's very, very true to this day. I mean, if we look at the state of race relations, have always simmered below the surface, but they really, really bubbled up and spewed out like a volcano ever since we've had our first Black president. And then people are going to say, no, that wasn't it. That was exactly it. White people lost their minds over the fact that they had to, yes, Mr. President, yes, sir, they had to, I don't want to say bend a knee, but they had to defer to a Black man. And this Black man had to walk a very delicate balance of being the president for all, as well as trying to create things that would assist the Black community. And at every turn, he was blocked. At every turn. I lost so many so-called friends. It revealed to me who people truly were, from high school, from work, from the community, neighborhoods. It really and truly revealed to me how they feel. And they said, oh, no, Oh no, Sandra, because they don't know me as sassy. Oh no, Sandra, no, you know, not you're not like them. Well, how am I not like them? My skin color is the same. I'm still treated the same. I'm still followed when I go to a high-end store. If I'm riding with one of my friends in their high-end vehicles, we've been pulled over more times than not. So how am I different? I'm different because you know me. But your network isn't diverse. And that was one of the things that we discussed within that reverse mentoring program that I was involved in. This person that was my mentee, that I had to explain a lot of stuff to him. The first time he saw a Muslim, an Asian, an Hispanic, and a Black was when he left his small Iowa town and went to college. He went 18 years, y'all, without seeing another person that did not look like him. He saw television shows that fed into stereotypes of all of those various ethnic groups that he had never seen. But he had never been face to face and in contact with people of other ethnicities. And that is my challenge to all of my white listeners, to all of my white friends. How diverse is your network? And I tell this story, right, it was in the middle of the pandemic, and it was about 2020. I want to say the pandemic started in 2020, right? Everybody was scared shitless, and they really didn't leave their homes. I know I didn't. I haven't been on vacation in 3 damn years because of the pandemic. And the fact that people are just nasty, and we found out how nasty people were when they're going to the bathroom and not washing their hands. And I know as a woman, I've heard, while I'm in the stall, I've heard women flush that toilet, open that door, and walk the hell out the bathroom. And I can't do my business fast enough because I want to see who the nasty bitch is that doesn't wash her hands, digging up her ass and her coochie and shit. And then goes out and not wash her hands and touches the door handle. That's why you wash your hands and then you use that napkin to open up that door handle. So many things were revealed with this pandemic. But it just boggled my mind about that whole process. So I was invited to a barbecue, and you've probably heard this story before, but I'm gonna tell it again. I was invited to this barbecue, and when I walked in the door, it was like E.F. Hutton. You know the slogan, when E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens. So you mention the word E.F., the name E.F. Hutton, and everything gets quiet. As my mother said, it was so quiet you could get a rat piss on cotton. That's how quiet it got when I walked into this house. And I realized that the people within this home had never had a Black person walk across that threshold. I was the first. The children were completely mute. And you could see, who is this Black woman? And then their father came up, was like, oh my God, you actually came, and gave me a hug. And I looked at him, I said, you don't have anybody that looks like me to come to your house, do you? And he let out this like little nervous laugh, but he hadn't. Now, I'm going to do that on the flip side. I go to another friend's home. I walk in. No one blinks an eye because he has a diverse group of friends consisting of every ethnic group and sexual orientation. His network is diverse, and that speaks to the type of person that he is. It's been diverse. I've known him since high school. He was the one that made me ugly cry with this beautiful email that he sent me, a text, when him and his family watched George Floyd get killed on live television, when he had to explain to his children why the policemen did what they did. When he told me they learned more in 1 week than they have in all of their years in school. That 1 week was an eye-opener for him to say something about and speak up. Because he's been in the room where they've been, you know, throwing the N-word around. Probably saying negative things about Asians and Arabs and Jewish people and gay people. And he sat silent. And he said he's not going to be silent anymore. He's not going to be complicit in that. And I applaud him for that. He's making a conscious effort to do better. To be better. And we're in a world where the only thing they want to see better is white progression. So I had this conversation with a friend, and they have biracial grandchildren. And I said, oh, well, there's a show that's on Hulu that I really think you need to watch. And it's on my list I'm about to mention. But it's a whole list of things that I think you need to watch. And you know what her response to me was? I know I want to, but I just don't want them to think bad of me. And I said, and there is the issue as to why they're trying to whitewash history. White people are afraid that their biracial children or their regular children, if they start showing the true history and nature and character of what white people did to African Americans in this nation, that is going to somehow reflect on them. But it's okay. It's okay for us to go through our family history, and hell, half of us can't even find it because they left us, lost a lot of them during the Middle Passage. Think about that. It's okay for little Ruby Bridges, who had to break the color barrier for to integrate schools, to be spit on, to be called a little bitch or a whore by grown white men and women. See, the problem is, like that Jerry Jones photo. See, they're trying to explain that Jerry Jones photo away. But you let Barack Obama go to a church in Chicago and sit under Pastor Wright, and now all of a sudden he's part of the Black Panther movement. But Jerry Rice, or whoever the Jerry Jones, whatever the hell his name is, that owns the Dallas Cowboys, is at a picture of them. I can't remember if they were beating him, if somebody, I don't think he was getting lynched, but he was there where they were harassing Black individuals. But they're trying to explain it away that he was there out of curiosity. That's a bunch of bullshit. There are two Americas, and we see America through two different lenses, and really maybe five. Depends on how you're assimilating. Because see, white-skinned Mexicans and Hispanics assimilate white. The darker-skinned ones really don't want to assimilate with Black, but that's what they present in appearance with their darker skin. The same thing with the Asians. See, there's colorism all through the nation, and they're all trying to whitewash it. My favorite radio show host has a quote. He says, in America, we are culturally conditioned to believe that Black is inferior and white is superior. And the manifestation of that cultural conditioning is that Blacks are underestimated, undervalued, and marginalized. And you can hear him each and every morning at 6 a.m. on Sirius XM 126. And their slogan is, where talk empowers. And you have Joe Madison, I think are Lurie Favors. You have Heather B. You have Clay Kane. You have Karen Hunter and Reverend Al Sharpton. You have Lou Hutt on the weekends. It's a whole host of people that are on that, all about Black empowerment and things that deal with our community. And one of the things that I tasked my mentee with is to look at these shows, and his children were too young. But save them in the memory bank, because these platforms are not ever going away. Now, maybe these shows might. I don't know. But these platforms are not going away. So I gave them a list. And on Netflix, I told them to watch The 13th, dealing with the 13th Amendment. Who We Are, a chronicle of racism in America. American Son, a movie with four main actors, Kerry Washington being one of them. And it was absolutely phenomenal. When They See Us, about the Exonerated Five, Central Park Five. And I'm going to be honest with you, I only got through the first 30 minutes of the first episode, and I have not gone back to finish it. Just the way in which they treated those boys. And again, that goes to show that they don't see our children as boys. They don't see our daughters as little girls. They see them as grown men and women. There was a 9-year-old girl that was, I believe, selling lemonade or boy Girl Scout cookies. And a neighbor called the police. An old white man, about 70, 80 years old, called the police and said there was a Black woman. She was 9. A Black woman that was in his neighborhood doing strange things. And they came out to this 9-year-old girl selling Girl Scout cookies. Or something to that effect. It doesn't matter what she was selling. The fact that she was 9 and they treated her like an adult. I am not your Negro. Dear white people, LA 92. The Khalif Browder story, the young brother who was thrown in the jail for a backpack, and they put him in Rikers Island, and he suffered. And when he got out, he couldn't get over what he had gone through, and he ended up killing himself. It's a very sad story. 7 Seconds, which was an amazing, phenomenal show. They took it off after, I believe, 1 or 2 seasons. And Trial 4 on Amazon Prime, Whose Streets, The Rise of the Black Lives Matter Movement and Ferguson, Fruitvale Station, Selma, The Murder of Fred Hampton, Malcolm X, The Hate U Give, Just Mercy, 3.5 Minutes, 10 Bullets, Rest in Power, The Trayvon Martin Story. On Hulu, The 1619 Project by Hannah Nicole Jones, MLK and the FBI, Women of the Movement, If Bill Street Could Talk, again, Selma, it's on a couple of platforms, The Rape of Recy Taylor, Miss Evers Boys, and The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. On Peacock, they have Use of Force, The Policing of Black America. On Paramount Plus, they have The Lynching Postcards. Did y'all know that they made postcards of lynchings and people actually mailed them out and kept them as souvenirs? Lynching Postcards. Now, I am 55 years old. The Civil Rights Movement was what, 1965? So that means my older brothers and sisters and my mother, who really doesn't like to talk about any of it, much to my chagrin, she does not like to talk about it because she's 84. Lord let her see it, she'll be 85 in January of 2024. But they lived through the colors only. They lived through all of this humiliation to see how the world has progressed. Peacock has another one called Black Boys, and it is a documentary that dives into the root causes of the negative and often dangerous stereotypes that plague Black boys and men in America. I highly recommend that you watch it. I plan on getting my great nephews that are here in the DMV, getting them together to watch it. I know they don't want to. They didn't want to watch the 1619 Project. But then there are some books that you need to add to your shelves. White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. It is a very hard conversation, but it needs to be had, by Robin DiAngelo. Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria and Other Conversations About Race is more kid-friendly and helps you explain it to your children. It's by Beverly Daniel Tatum. A Terrible Thing to Waste, Environmental Racism and Its Assault on the American Mind by Harriet A. Washington. The End of Policing, Alex S. Vitale. Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates. The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness, Michelle Alexander. The Color of Law, Richard Rothstein. The ISIS Papers, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, The Keys to the Colors. You know, you have the right, A Constitutional Guide to Policing the Police by Laura Coates. Now, it's not a huge read, that one, but it's also a slippery slope because you're going to be met with the authoritarian, don't question me, I'm the law type of individual. So when you read books like that, you have to have a very delicate line that we have to walk. We all have to have those conversations with our children on how they have to interact with the police. Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You, a remix of the National Book Award winning Stamp from the Beginning, Jason Reynolds and Ibrahim Zendi X. Kendi. How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibrahim X. Kendi. A Kid's Book About Racism by Jelani Memory. And We're Different, We're the Same. It's a Sesame Street book for younger kids by Bobby Cates and Joe Matthew. When it comes to podcasts, The 1619 Project, Code Switch, which is what every Black person in corporate America has learned how to do, where we talk like sassy talks right now, but then when we get into corporate America, it's like, oh, I completely understand. See, I know I have to lower my voice and be a little softer so as not to intimidate white men and women. Seeing white, Asian enough. Pod Save the People with D-Ray and Tamarindo podcast. And my resources for all of this were The Griot, Amazon, Hulu, Netflix, Peacock, Letterboxd, and Google is your friend, as well as IMDb to look up some other shows that we should watch every chance that we get, not just during Black History Month. I forgot to add Emancipation with Will Smith. I know he's still persona non grata after the slap for a lot of people, but I have not watched it yet, but I've heard nothing but rave reviews about it. And had he not slapped him, he would probably be up for an Oscar for this. But, you know, people are still going to be petty about it. And I get it. I understand it. I'm not condoning what he did. But the work, from what I hear, that he has done within this project was absolutely phenomenal. And it's just going to take me a minute to watch it. I mean, there's just, I got to work up to stuff like that. And let me tell you, once again, I did it again, y'all, because I came on here with a completely different subject that I wanted to talk about. But this was, clearly you could see that this topic was on my heart. And again, with it being Black History Month, and we're into, what are we into? The second week. So I'm not too late. I'm not too late. So it's the second week of Black History Month. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, fellas. Don't forget to go out. The 14th of February is every year. Every year. And I can't tell you how many men I saw over the weekend scrambling to get flowers and roses. And some of y'all are going to actually wait until tomorrow. And you're going to go in and you're going to get all of the leftover cards that are for, you know, the secretary or your coworker or your auntie. And there's going to be nothing that's going to be able to express how you feel about that special woman in your life. Because once again, you decided to wait until the last damn minute to go out and get something. Now, that being said, Sassy doesn't have a Valentine. Well, technically, she doesn't have a Valentine. But Valentine's Day isn't my day. June 7th is my day. So anyone that I'm dealing with can forget Valentine's Day. You can wish me a happy Valentine's Day. But you don't need to send me flowers and balloons or candy, although if you wanted to, it's very nice. But June 7th is an unforgivable day that you cannot forget. June 7th. So, I just had to get that out there because it was just, I wanted to lighten the mood a little bit because I just laid on, you know, a lot of, you know, heavy things that people really don't want to talk about. And you may not even listen to this entire podcast because we're being inundated with this divisive conversation about race. But it is a hard conversation to have. And we absolutely need to have these conversations. So that is it for this edition of Situations with Sassy. Remember to live every moment, laugh every day, and love beyond words. Happy Valentine's Day to all of y'all that have a Valentine. And I will talk to you in a week. Peace.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.